tonight about perseverance. I want to specifically talk about how to go from lethargy to energy. Spiritual energy is a product of perseverance. Perseverance is not just for us. It's not just for you. It's for others. You'll see that in the life of Nehemiah. Perseverance helps others that are stuck in what seems like a joyless and aimless state of mind. During the COVID and even now, it seems like a lot of people have lost their zip. It seems like a lot of people are going aimlessly through their jobs and through life. And I want to talk about how that all of us go through this. There's nobody exempt from that. I want to talk about what perseverance is. And I want to make the statement right at the beginning. Perseverance is something we must personally take responsibility for. And sometimes we're waiting for things to change in order to persevere, but it doesn't happen that way. I want to talk about it because I feel like we're in such a crucial hour in the church world that it's very easy to get lethargic. And I want to talk about that. So I want to talk about going from lethargy to energy. How many like to be around people that have energy? Amen. Lethargy is the place between depression and energy. It's the neglected middle child of mental health. And we don't often realize, you know, we know when we're depressed. And we know when we're energetic. But lethargy, it's like a deception. It's kind of like I used to get up facing the day. Now I kind of get up facing the day. I used to give it my best, but I'm not that consistent anymore. There's no one exempt from that. Especially when it's tied to loss. When it's tied to delays. When it's tied to expectations that are not happening. And we can see through church history that the church went through times of lethargy, times of even discouragement. But we also see where the church went through times of great energy. I want to believe that Jesus wants his church to finish with great energy. Not being lethargic. Let's talk about that tonight if we can. Perseverance, this is my definition, giving God your best despite outward conflicts. Giving God my best consistently. But I want to tell you, it takes a lot to do that. Because we are still people, creatures, that are affected by the five senses. So, tonight, I teach this not as I have arrived, but one who has learned a few lessons about perseverance. And how many tonight want to hear some of those lessons? Amen. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. I love this book. I've preached it many times over 40-some years. I told some men the other night that this is a conservative estimate. I have preached at least 10,000 times in the years I've been in the ministry before I was in full time. So I've preached this many times. Nehemiah 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chisleu, in the 12th year, I was in Shushan the palace. And Hananiah, when my brethren came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left in the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left in the captivity there in the province are in great affliction, and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Lord, bless your word tonight. We come to hear from heaven. We come to the banqueting table. We pray you feed our souls in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, Nehemiah's task was greater than rebuilding gates and walls. He had to get the people. He had to gather the people. He had to get lethargy out of them and get new energy. And this is the question. Why were the people in Jerusalem doing nothing about the gates and the walls? Because they had fallen into such a loss that they were in lethargy. And they came to a place where they said, it just can't happen. God had to use someone else that was not dealing with this, who is full of energy, to come and do something. Don't ever think your life doesn't count in encouraging someone else. Your perseverance, whether at work, your family, the house of God, people are watching. Yeah. They might not have that level of perseverance. They might be in depression or lethargy, but your life gives them light. They had to get there. He had to get energy into the work. We believe that God wants to put some energy into his work. Say amen. Amen. Now, Nehemiah was sad. Excuse me. He was sad. The reason he wept, it's not because he was an emotional person. He was so tied to God that Christ wept through him. Mm. I didn't get that. He was so in love with God that Christ wept through him. Because how many believe that Jesus loves people? How many believe that Jesus loves Jerusalem, the city of the great king? So Jesus wept through him when he heard about the state of their soul. How many know that Jesus is concerned about the state of men's souls? It's very easy, the test of lethargy in my life is because I quit having a concern for the state of someone else. Hmm. And I begin to just turn it on me. Everything's about me. Everything's about me. But as much as it seems right, it's not the energy God wants. Amen. Paul had such energy. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul when he's preaching and he's had to process this fact that before Christ, my life was a life of shame and before God for persecuting his people. Just think what he had to go through to persevere, to have the energy to stand up and say, you know what? I'm crucified unto the world, and the world's crucified unto me. I become all things to all men, that some might be saved. You see, that's an energy Paul had. He had to work through things like you and I do. He had to work through failures and sin and missing God. But the thing is, because it was a perseverance, he knew that God would work with him. How do you know that God's been working with you?
Amen.
We have no idea how he's working with us.
We need to go to the king.
We need to go to the king.
We need to go to the king.
Not to an organization, not to a religious institution, not to a man. We need to go to the king. Because the king grabbed Nehemiah in his heart. He wept like Christ did over the concern. You see, if I try to get spiritual energy just for my life, be blessed again, get another house and another car, and everybody wants to recognize me, if I use my energy on myself, I'll never be sent to help other people get their energy. Amen. I'll consume it on myself. He goes to the king. His request was granted. Why? He said, Nehemiah, what do you need? What do you want? Let me know the King Jesus is ready to answer our request, but not every little detail of our prayer list we want him to do for us. Our first request should be, God, I'm here. You put me on this family. You put me, I was born this year, in this country, in this house. You put me here. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I do not want to, even though I live in a hedonistic culture that materialism has become a god, I don't want that. But what I do want is to please you. Amen. And what God saw was through the king, when the king saw that, listen, this man is sincere about God and God's people, he said, I'm going to give you a request. Second thing, his plans were favor. See, we all want the favor of God. Amen. But we want it how we want it. Not everybody's favoritism, someone else, has nothing to do with respect for persons. But how many know God sees our life? Man sees it one way, God sees it another way. You can learn certain spiritual lingo and phraseology, and you can impress other believers, but God sees the hearts. He knows what's in that heart. And that's a good thing, because we can always ask God to change our heart like Christ, which is more favor. God's not going to favor somebody that uses the ministry or uses spiritual lingo to try to impress other believers rather than to give glory to God. That's why I thank God for our worship, because I believe the songs that are being written today are more about Jesus and not about us. It can't just be about my struggle and I finally got through. Okay, that's 80, 90. Let's start getting some worship songs about His greatness. Yeah. And His glory. See, that's why some of the hymns are so powerful, because they were written in a culture that we have like today, where things about read those about the majesty and the glory of God. I thank God the songs are being written like that today. Third thing, his challenge released a new level of perseverance. Oh, yeah. We all thought we were pretty persevering for COVID. And that demanded something of us if we wanted to get out of lethargy. If not, then we just floated down the river like a dead fish. But I see nowhere in the scripture that we are to adapt to a circumstance to change how we relate to God. Don't change the eternal plans of God's church because of the virus. We've got to persevere, find the right path and the wisdom, but keep on persevering. I believe there's a lot of the church world that's in lethargy, that they don't have the energy. Well, guess what? God wants to use you and this house to help people get that energy back. You can come to church without fear. You can come to the house of God and worship, despite people say don't gather. You can do that. Why? Because God is with us. You can fulfill your calling. But it takes a new level of perseverance, doesn't it? Yeah. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore? Everybody say, wherefore?
Wherefore.
You see, wherefore, you need to find out where it's for. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience and perseverance the race that is set before us. Before we want perseverance, the root word means to persist under conflict. I don't need perseverance if there's no conflict. I don't need perseverance if the gates aren't burned. I don't need perseverance if I'm not facing hardships or facing things that are contrary to what God wants to do. But how many know we need perseverance today? Because I've got to run with persistence the race. Listen, I can quit in the race. Probably still go to heaven. I don't know about my reward. I can go sit on the bench. But the Bible says we've got to persevere. And I have found out this in my journey of perseverance, that there's sometimes I'm very confident, I'm very sure, that every step, look out, devil, I'm still coming forward. And there's other times that I'm going forward, but I'm not going quite as fast, and I'm quite as sure, and the praise of the Lord aren't coming out as they were. But one thing I do know, I put one step in front of the other.
Amen.
Who's with me? Don't think that because someone gives us testimony that they're every day we just skip through the tulips and glory cloud comes down. I don't believe it. If they never talk about persevering or suffering or getting through it, they're not being real. After you have suffered a while, Peter said, God will establish. It doesn't mean that God said the suffering. It just means in the suffering you get a hold of God even more. Race. Looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Everybody say author.
Author.
And he's going to finish. One of the things we need to do for perseverance, to feed it, to begin to do a begin to recall where God's brought you from. Begin to think how there was other times that might not have been a virus or this, but there were some situations, pal, you didn't, as a believer, you didn't know how God was going to do something. Paul said, we came to Macedonia, we despaired even in life. Paul said that. What pressure was he facing? Then he goes, listen, everybody in Asia has left me, but I'm persevering. Men on board, you should have hearkened unto me. But you didn't. But still, men, even though you didn't hearken, God is with me. Never think if man has hindered you or tried to get you off course and you gave in. Don't ever think that God can't override it. God called you, not an organization. God called you, not Rock Church Petersburg. God called you. And he establishes local churches. I'm saying, I'm not trying to put one down, but I'm just trying to say, who are you looking to? You can't look to the pews. You can't look to the platform. Look to the building. No, we're not looking to a man. We're looking for Jesus Christ. He started it. I didn't start it. I'm not your author. The building isn't Jesus's. And he's going to finish it. That's why I kept perseverance. Because he knoweth my frame, you see. He remembereth I'm but dust, you see. And so he's touched by the feelings of my infirmities. So I don't go around and say, oh, I'm just so strong. I go around and say, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the weak who have a realistic understanding that God is their source, let them say, I'm strong because the Lord is strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honey, you might be strong in the Lord today, but tomorrow you wake up, you feel like you've been beat up. Everything, you try to find God, the devil's trying to come at you, your emotions, and you're weak. God says, you know what? In my eyes, I love you just the same. I'm not out there condemning you. Look to me again.
Yeah.
Mm. Anybody have those days, brother? Mm-hmm. Have some dream at night, you wake up, you're terrible, the dream is awful, or whatever, a nightmare, you know what I'm saying? And then kind of you get a, have you ever had a dream and you get up the next morning, and it takes a couple hours to get through it? Anybody have any dreams like that? Am I the only one?
No.
But thank God I have dreams too, but I know it was God, and I get up and say, man, I got the presence of God in that dream, and I woke up. Praise God. God's bigger than my sleep.
Amen.
Did you know you actually, your mind does not go to sleep? Do you know your thoughts and your mind do not go to sleep? They're still going up there. Why does it tell us to look to Jesus? Because there was joy set before him. But he had to endure something, the cross. Spice and shame, he sat down at the throne of God. You know what? This is a pattern for us. One day, we're going to sit down at the marriage table of the Lamb. That gives me joy. That this is temporary. And all God's asking of us in this hour is to persevere. Let Christ live through us. Let Christ weep through us. Let Christ give us his burden for the lost. That's what church is about. Right. Churches fall into lethargy. They do. When they no longer weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice, they no longer have a burden, not just for those without, but for those within. Well, love is really great. Let's look how Jesus had to persevere. He had to persevere through five circumstances that would have devastated any man. First of all, rejection, or missing rejection. How do you feel after being rejected? I don't always feel like getting up and doing a dance. He had to persevere through misunderstanding. Who is this man? Isn't he Joseph? Isn't he his son? Who is this? Misunderstanding. He had to persevere through religion with the Pharisees. He had to persevere, you'll like this one, with a disciple. James and John. This is my what on earth are you doing wanting to call fire down on people? I'm going to get a person here with you.
Amen.
I'm just swatting little foxes all day long. I don't have the energy to deal with the big things. And sometimes I get it, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go, gosh. And I hope for a sanctified word when you have that moment. There is a thing called Christian cussing. You just change the words, but it's the same. We think before God, oh, that was a holy cuss. God says, no, your tone isn't holy. How many of you ever denied one of them? Say, joy again tonight. Hebrews 10:39, and then we're going to close. I'll probably pick up this on Sunday, unless the Lord changes. This is more of a teaching Bible study. Hebrews 10:39, for you have need of perseverance. King James says patience. Actually, perseverance is a better translation than that. That after you've done the will of God, everybody say after. After you've done it, not before. Growing up. After you clean your room, you get the dollar. After you go apologize to your sister, you can watch TV again. After you've done your homework, you can stay up a half hour. We live in a thing. We don't want the after. Just live our lives any way we want. Say anything we want. You got to clean up your words there, Isaiah. Then after I'll show you my glory, I'll show you things and use you. After you've done the will of God, how many know the Word of God is the will of God? No, there is a specific will of God. But I think we can get it balanced. And we're waiting for some prophecy to tell us what to do, but we're not really in the Word. The Word should lead us, not prophets. People have been destroyed by letting prophets lead them. Prophets is to come to confirm and exhort, not to give direction. I mean, I prophesied over thousands of people. It's not, once in a while God might be a hint of something, but I'm very cautious. That's not my job. Not my calling. Done well, you might receive what? The promise. Well, what is the promise? Well, it comes from a promised land. All my kids will be saved. I'll be blessed coming in, blessed going out. But how about this promise that we don't often put in this verse? I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. For too many years, I did not live the abundant life. Did I want to? Of course. What I let, what people thought of me, what I thought of myself, and how I rated myself as a preacher and a pastor and as a father, I let so much of that in, the abundant life and joy was gone. Now, I know that might not be you. But self-examination, it's like, it's part of our Christian discipline, but when you go to the doctor and you get examined, you don't live there. Without the Holy Spirit, the can of the Lord examine us and adjust some things. But then we should, if we have to confess or change, repent means a change in mind, then we go live the abundant life, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. I'm preaching to myself. Perseverance just isn't me saying, well, I'm just going to get through this on my own. I'm just going to do this. Well, it is, but it isn't. Perseverance is, God, give me your heart. Because there's gates burned and there's walls down and there's a whole multitude of people, even your people, that are lethargic. And they're not on fire like they were. And they're not coming to your house like they were. They're not studying their Bible like they were. They're not bringing their children like they used to. God, help me to be a light to them. Not condemning light. And I've learned this, and I'm going to close. I've learned that when I'm dealing with lethargy, my first instinct, like Elijah, get away from everybody. But I'm slowly learning this lesson that when I'm in that state, it's crucial that I impart encouragement and light to others, even though I don't feel like it, even though I feel like what I'm in. It's not easy. Because having been so self-centered on my life, I have like a built-in self-survival mechanism. I don't know what yours is. Mine is, just get me away from everybody right now. It was all right, I guess, certain season of my life. Then I begin to realize it's a bridge to nowhere. And I've learned that when I'm hurting, when I'm drained, when I'm upset, I can somehow make somebody smile. Somehow you do. Our greatest growth is not when everything is fine. Our greatest growth is when you're hurting, but you're not telling anybody, and you still reach out. But let me tell you, what you sow in that moment comes back quickly. That's the richest soil there is, because it's done out of sacrifice. That joy will return. I can't tell you over the 40 years I've preached 10,000 times, probably more, in crusades. Not every time I mount the pulpit that I'm feeling. Not every time I mount up here with no major problems to deal with. Same way with you. Sometimes you feel like you're dragging yourself. But know in this hour, God gave you perseverance. You sow something. If it's one thing, you know, that thing will touch heaven, it will come back and lift your spirit. Remember driving through Duncan and tell the girl there was new, and I could tell she wasn't, you know, it was just hard. You know, it doesn't take much to realize the state of the soul we have in the Holy Spirit. I just had to give a great job. Faith to live. So I took my drink. It was free when that day, too, by it was only $30 to get the free one. Hallelujah. We won't go into that. How many want that part left in your mind? I'm not saying we don't have it. How many want to be used in your perseverance to help someone else? Never forget that. Perseverance is not just for you. There's always somebody watching. How many have ever been pulled over by the police? A couple of you are honest. Somebody was watching. There's always somebody watching. We're not perfect. Let's create an atmosphere in our own life and in this house. These are people on a journey. We all have our stories. We all have our struggles. All of you can stand up here and talk about how you persevere through things. Let's release that again. It'll cause an energy to come into this house and in your personal life. And make sure lethargy never steals in your life. Lord, we just thank you tonight. You persevered. All the disciples persevered. All of them martyred except John. Persevere, persecution like we will probably never know. We pray for that spirit of Nehemiah, that care, that concern about the state of Jerusalem, the state of the body of Christ, the state of the believers. Gates are burned down. Walls are broken. Lord, use us. Let our light shine before men. They might see that our good works are not wrought in us, but they're wrought in a determined faith and persistence of being with you. We thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. The Lord shout tonight.